We're going to chant another bhajan. Called Markandeya Bhagavad Dham. I don't know what page it shows.
21.
21. This was written by Srila Prabhupada while he was on board the ship, the Jaladuta, just before entering Boston Harbor, after journeying across the Atlantic Ocean to come to America for the first time on the order of a spiritual master. And I guess it's Thanksgiving, so we should be looking for an opportunity to give thanks. Which is the tradition. I was reading recently a verse in the Bhagavata describing one of the characteristics of a Brahmin is gratitude. That's he feels grateful because he's satisfied in any condition of life. Forgive me, it's hard enough as it is, because this is my first landing on English soil. I'm so used to being...
It's no longer English soil.
English language. English language, excuse me. I'm used to being in a foreign language. And therefore, when I speak, I'm used to speaking in fragments while my translator translates for me. So it takes me time, usually a week or so, before I can get adjusted to speaking continuously. And therefore distractions make it a little bit more difficult than it already is. So, Thanksgiving, yes. We were saying that the verse in the Bhagavatam describes one of the qualities of a Brahmin. He's grateful. And gratitude is a very important quality also for bhakti or devotional service. Devotional service means to voluntarily sacrifice our personal interests for a higher purpose. Ultimately, we know that devotional service means to satisfy Krishna. Anya balasita sunyam jnana kananya avatam anukuyena Krishna anushilanam bhaktir uttama. That the nature of devotional service is that it must be rendered specifically with the aim to please Krishna, and it must be freed from any personal motivation such as karma, which means for personal gain, or jnana, simply for the acquisition of knowledge in order to achieve liberation, which is generally pursued through mental speculation. The symptom of bhakti is that the performer of bhakti is thinking exclusively of Krishna's pleasure. Now, when one actually comes to the platform of pure devotional service, all other characteristics are automatically included. This is a verse, Yashasti Bhaktir Bhagavacha Kinshinar Savaya Gunais Tattva Samasate Sura. That all of the good qualities of the demigods, such as knowledge, religion, renunciation, they all automatically become manifest in a person who is engaged in unalloyed devotional service. So all these qualities, such as humility, pridelessness, tolerance, simplicity, gratitude, detachment, freedom from envy, they are all automatically manifest in a person who is filled with bhakti, devotion to Krishna. Because his natural state of being, his natural state of being is to be, have all of these good qualities. And all of these bad qualities are simply due to his identification or his contact with material nature. So, we're speaking about gratitude. A devotee who is on the platform of spontaneous loving devotional service even transcends gratitude. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains this principle, that is the nature of unalloyed devotional service, is that he loves Krishna under any circumstance, even as described in the Sikshastika prayers, that even if you make me brokenhearted by not being present before me, even if you do anything to me, which may even cause me pain, that pain is my pleasure. Because you're always my worshipful Lord, unconditionally. That is the characteristic of pure unalloyed devotional service, which is transcendental completely, because it's freed from any other motivation except the desire to please Krishna. Nonetheless, as we said, all the good qualities are automatically manifest in a devotee. And gratitude is a very important quality for advancement along the path of bhakti. It is explained by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that in the Sri Bhakti Loka, that there are different types of transcendentalists, the Karmi, the Jnani, the Yogi, the devotee. Karmi is one who performs karmakanda. He's motivated to get some fruit, and because he's motivated for the fruit, that keeps him going. And then, after getting the fruit, he may offer the fruit to Krishna. But nonetheless, he's motivated by the fruit. The Jnani, he's motivated to achieve liberation. He wants some fruit. Also, he wants some result. The result that he wants is he wants to be liberated from this material tabernacle, and he wants to be freed from suffering. And he strives to achieve this through jnana, which is mental speculation, in order to achieve impersonal liberation. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur also says that the bhakta, he engages in his sadhana, and he also wants some result. But the result he wants is Krishna's pleasure. That is the only result he aspires for. Nothing else. If Krishna is pleased, that is the satisfaction of the devotee, is to please the Supreme Lord exclusively. Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains that he describes the qualities of daya, or patience. He says that patience means that when the bhakta is performing his activities of sadhana, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing about Krishna, speaking about Krishna, remembering Krishna, praying to Krishna, associating with devotees, all of these activities performed in sadhana bhakti, when he's performing his sadhana, he's expecting the mercy of the Lord. And that mercy is that the Lord will be pleased. That is the mercy. He said, but sometimes that mercy may not come quickly. He says that patience, or daya, which is one of the qualities of a bhakta, means that a devotee is thinking that I will get Krishna's mercy, whether it's now, a year from now, 100 years from now, 100 births from now. It doesn't make any difference. Someday I will get Krishna's mercy. And he goes on, simply executing his devotional service with patience and faith. He says this type of patience is required in order to advance in devotional service. So, and he says that sometimes we see that persons will give up their sadhana because they haven't achieved the desired result. In other words, they felt they did not get Krishna's mercy, Krishna was not pleased, and so, after prolonged sadhana, not getting the desired result, they give it up. Now, of course, there's no loss in the execution of bhakti. There's no loss. Whatever gain one has accomplished in his life, in devotional service, will never be lost. Krishna says, Nehapa karma nasyasti patyobaya na vijate svapam avyasya namasya jayate mahato bayad. In this endeavor, there's never any loss or diminution. And a little advancement on this path protects one from the most dangerous type of fear. So many verses in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam which give evidence that a devotee, having once engaged in devotional service, he never loses anything that he gains. He simply, if he does not complete in this life, then he continues his devotional service in a future life. Of course, he must always be careful to not commit offenses which can stifle or stunt one's advancement in devotional service, but to go into the definition of offenses and the consequences of such offenses is a very lengthy topic, but nonetheless it needs to be considered. Why am I bringing these points up? I'm bringing them up because, as I said in the beginning, gratitude is a very important characteristic of devotional service, is that one, it carries one forward even in the face of adversity. Even in the face of great difficulty, even when it appears that we're not recipients of Krishna's mercy, even if it appears that Krishna is not pleased, even if it appears that I have no love for Krishna, I don't have adequate attachment to Krishna, I haven't advanced sufficiently in Krishna consciousness, various subtle discouragements can actually manifest in one's heart, and one begins to think, why should I go on? This happens. We've seen it. It's not like something that's not visible to us. But if one has gratitude, that gratitude can actually carry one forward in the face of all kinds of adversity and difficulty. Gratitude that Krishna is so kind. There's verse in the Bhagavatam, Tatenu kampam susha mikshamano bhujani bhatma kritam vibhakam yabhagva kripya vidunam namaste jivati yamukti padesa dayabhaka. One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past misdeeds, who always engages in your devotional service with your body, mind, with his body, mind, and words, and always glorifies Krishna, he certainly becomes a bona fide candidate for mukti padesa dayabhaka, for liberation. Devotee who goes on serving Krishna, tolerating all kinds of adverse conditions, because he sees that, yes, whatever happens to me, it is simply due to my own past misdeeds. We never blame Krishna. Krishna is so kind that Krishna has minimized this suffering. I deserved a lot worse. And Krishna is so kind that he minimizes it so that we don't forget him. As long as we remember Krishna, we can always feel gratitude, even in the face of adversity and difficulty. And Krishna has not allowed me to forget him. Because actually, that is the real goal of bhakti. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru. Krishna says, always think of me, worship me, offer your obeisances unto me, surely you will come to me. In so many places in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna emphasizes this point, to remember me. Antakalecha mamivasmaran mukhakalevram. Krishna says, whoever remembers me at the time of giving up his body immediately attains my nature, this is no doubt. Satatam kirtayantamam yatantas chadvirabhita. Krishna says, my devotees are always chanting my glories. They're always bowing down before me, endeavoring with great determination. These and so many other verses emphasize that remembrance of Krishna is the goal of all our activities. Smartavyam satatam vishnur vismartavyam najatu chit sarvaviri nishedasyo etiyo eva kinkura. Krishna must always be remembered, he must never be forgotten. All the rules and prohibitions given in the scriptures are meant to be the servant of these two principles. So Krishna is so kind that even in the face of so many difficulties, he doesn't let me forget him. That is Krishna's mercy. That is Krishna's kindness. And therefore, a devotee always feels grateful to Krishna, even when there's difficulty. So much so that even great devotees like Queen Kunti, Vipita Shantra Taksha Shvat Tatra Tatra Jigad Guru, she prays Krishna to Krishna, let calamities happen to me again and again, so that I can see you again and again. For seeing you means I'll no longer have to see birth and death in this material world. Queen Kunti, she's praying, let calamities happen, because when calamities come, I think of you. Now, it's an advanced stage. Not everybody's prepared to make such prayers. Queen Kunti, she does, she teaches us that we should pray like that. But when we sit down and it's time to pray, generally we'll hesitate to say something like that to Krishna. We'll usually say, Krishna, let me think of you, but please don't make it too difficult. Please don't let me suffer. When I don't suffer, I can think of you better. No. Let calamities happen again and again, because when they come, I think of you. So, that ability to remember Krishna, that is Krishna's kindness. That he has diminished whatever reaction that is due to us in such a way that at least we can remember him. So that, for that, a devotee should feel grateful to Krishna. And naturally, we should always feel grateful to those who help us to remember Krishna. Because without their association, tulayama lavenapi nasvagam napanam bhavam, as stated in the Bhagavatam, the value of a moment's association of a devotee of Lord cannot be compared to elevation to heavenly planets, to liberation from matter, but to worldly prosperity, which is ultimately meant for those who are meant for death. Yeah, value of one moment's association of a devotee. Why? Because in a moment's association with a devotee, the devotee who is always speaking about Krishna, remembering about Krishna, telling others about Krishna, they're giving us that opportunity to remember Krishna, which is the most valuable asset. It's the most valuable jewel. It's the most valuable gift that one can possibly obtain in this life, is that ability to remember Krishna. Without devotee, it is very difficult. Therefore, not only are we grateful to Krishna, but we're also grateful to the devotees who have given us Krishna. Grateful to the devotees to help us along the path of devotional service, who give us strength. Like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, the path is very difficult and I am blind and my feet are slipping again and again. Therefore, I pray to the saints to grant me their stick of mercy for my support. It's praying in this way. Any of you who ever experienced having to walk up a slippery hill, walking up an incline, your feet are slipping out from underneath you, you can fall down very easily. But if you have a stick, you dig the stick into the ground, that stick will give you the extra support that you need so that you can continue to move forward. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is praying to the saints to give him that stick. Path is difficult, I am blind and my feet are slipping. Give me the stick of your mercy. They're very kind because they give that stick. They give that extra support so that we don't fall back and forget. Gratitude. And they're always ready to give. That is the nature of the Lord. That is the nature of the devotees of the Lord. You need something, Ramana?
I want to be in a place where I'm understood. I'm right here.
Uh-huh. The devotee is one who is always ready to give. Because he's simply carrying Krishna's mercy and he does not discriminate. He gives to everyone without discrimination. He's not looking for anything in return because he's already satisfied, because he's established his connection with Krishna. He doesn't have to expect anything in return. He simply gives. Therefore, the example is given that just like the rain cloud distributes its water everywhere without discrimination. Doesn't discriminate whether it's land or the ocean, whether the recipient is benefiting or not benefiting. It simply distributes. That is a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is simply giving Krishna's mercy. And if we associate with a Vaishnava and take that mercy, then Vaishnava is always one step ahead of us. He's always giving. It's not that sometimes when we establish a relationship, the nature of the relationships in this world is that, well, I'll give if I get. Or sometimes we wait to think, well, before I give, I have to see if I get something. And if I get something, I'll give something. In return, here's gratitude. I'll give something back. But if they stop giving, then what happens? We think, oh, I don't have to give anymore. I'm grateful you did something, but if you're not giving anymore, then... But Vaishnava is always one step ahead. Vaishnava is always giving. Not only is he giving his association, not only is he giving Krishna to his words and his instructions, but he's also giving the potency to carry out Krishna's instructions impregnated in the words and his instructions that he gives. So he's always giving. We simply have to become receptacles to that mercy and understand that there's no way I could possibly ever pay back the debt. Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam that one who thinks he can pay back the debt to the spiritual master, he's like a joker, a fool. He thinks that the debt can be paid back. And he was specifically referring to in the relationship with the spiritual master who has given us Krishna, and he's given us devotional service, and he's given us the means to achieve Krishna's lotus feet. Means to remember Krishna. So, that gratitude of having achieved the association of a Vaishnava, that gives us the impetus we need to tolerate all kinds of difficulties and adversities, to tolerate our own shortcomings and inadequacies, and to be patient, that even if it's 1 year, 10 years, 100 years, or 100 lives, I have a debt I can never pay back. And it's not just simply some mundane obligation. Why do I feel that I have a debt that I can never pay back? It's because of the gratitude. Because I feel so grateful that if I hadn't received the association of a Vaishnava who distributed Krishna in a way that changed my whole course in life, and gave me a goal and a direction in life, and saved me, then where would I be? So gratitude is very important, and in this sense, And if we're supposed to be giving thanks, it's not just simply because, okay, because you've given me some food to eat, giving me my daily bread. Sometimes Krishna gives in a way that may not necessarily meet our expectations. Sometimes Krishna may take everything away. Yasyaham andugrahami harishye tatanam shanai. Krishna is particularly merciful towards his devotee. He may take everything away from the devotee. That's his mercy. So what does a devotee do? What did Prabhupada do? Krishna took everything away from Prabhupada. Took away his family, took away his business. Took everything that ordinarily people would be very eager to secure in their life. And Prabhupada simply took that as a sign of Krishna's mercy upon him so that he could travel across the Jaladuta and fulfill the order of his spiritual master, which is this Markandeya Bhagavad Dhamma. This Markandeya Bhagavad Dhamma is Srila Prabhupada's gratitude to Krishna and to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. It is his gratitude that allowed him to suffer through 2 heart attacks on the way as he was journeying to America, allowed him to tolerate all kinds of apparent external obstacles that were very difficult for him to overcome in his early days in establishing Krishna consciousness in the West, and enabled him to go on and to ultimately give us Krishna and give us a reason to be grateful to him. So those are my immediate thoughts about Thanksgiving, was to express our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada. And then I thought, why not read this Markandeya Bhagavad Dham and chant it? And that could be our Thanksgiving offering, so that we have a reason to feel grateful today to Srila Prabhupada. We'll read the translation. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here, otherwise why would you bring me to this terrible place? I always like that. Whenever I speak about this in Russia, I always remind the devotees there that to come to America means to go to a terrible place. I spend a lot of time in Russia and Ukraine and all the countries where they think America's a wonderful place. Prabhupada was leaving India to come to this terrible place. Why was it terrible? There's no Krishna here. Terrible. He left Vrindavan to come to this terrible place. He was there, Vrindavan. But I guess you have some business here, otherwise why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. But I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy, so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have become under the control of the illusory energy by your will, and therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. I'm not thinking himself that I'm going to deliver. He's not thinking that way. If you want them delivered, they'll be delivered. If you want them to hear your message, only thing I'm going to do is I'm going to give them your message. That's all. If you want them delivered, then they will be delivered. That is how the pure Vaishnava is so fully dependent upon Krishna for everything. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation, and if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. And then he quotes Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 2nd Chapter, verses 17 through 21, which I will read. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Super Soul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. A loving service unto the personality of Godhead, whose praise with transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable fact. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. End of quote. Now Prabhupada is speaking again. He will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure, as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message, so if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I'm sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel enlightened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance, O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta, signed the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, USA, dated 18th of September, 1965. So let us chant. We chant everything. 8, it goes from 8, verse 8 to verse 9. We don't chant the Bhagavatam verses in between.